Holding on Yodama Bay's five lines from the bottom. Yodama Bay's five lines from the bottom. We said that we had a machloikus. We had a machloikus about when exactly the year begins. We talked, or not really when the year begins, but how much of a year there needs to be. You might have discussed yesterday how much left of the end of a year does it have to be for it to count as a full year. And we brought in the matter of the marble. So this brings us to Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, I remember Tishrei Nivra Olam. Rabbi Eliezer says the world was created in Tishrei, meaning Rosh Hashanah, and as we know from all over the place in Chassidus, really the world, according to Rabbi Eliezer, started to be created on Chof HaElul. We say that it was created in Tishrei because Adam and Chava were created on Aleph Tishrei, and that's the Zehayim Chilas Masecha, as we call it later in the Masecha, the creation of human beings is the purpose for to the we're the ones who make it into a Dira B'Tachtonim. So therefore, only when we were created and Adam accepted Hashem's kingship on himself, then the world had a purpose. Yeah, that's why we came from Aleph Tishrei rather than Chafael, right? Tishrei Nivra, but Tishrei know the Ovis. The Ovis were all born in Tishrei, and we'll talk about later whether that means all of them or only some of them. But Tishrei Mesu Ovis, they also died in Tishrei. But Pesach know the Yitzchok, but Yitzchok was born Pesach. Rosh Hashanah Nifkada Sara Rochel V'Chana, and Rosh Hashanah Sara Rochel and Chana were all remembered by Hashem, which means Rashi says that it doesn't mean they became pregnant. Rashi says that at that time, on Rosh Hashanah, is when Hashem, we know on Rosh Hashanah Hashem remembers, that's why we say Zichronus, that we'll talk about at the end of the Masechta, that Hashem remembers and Hashem goes over, like reviews everything that a person did that year and decides what their din should be for the next year. Sarah, Rochel, and Chana, the decision was all made, where for all of them, Hashem came to the decision on Rosh Hashanah that they should become pregnant and have a child this coming year. Doesn't necessarily mean they actually became pregnant. I'm not sure. We'll talk about later in the Gemara, for example, when Sarah became pregnant, right? We'll talk about later when she became pregnant. Yeah. It was on the one hand, it's Matzahs, but on the other hand, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it at the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, yeah. If we're saying that it depends on Hashem judging the world, then it's not just Sarah, Rachel, and Hannah. By rights, it should be all women. And in fact, the Gemara in Yavama says so. The chiddush why we're mentioning Sarah, Rachel, and Hannah, well, besides the fact they were akaris for many years, and then and then Hashem decided that they'll have children. It was an interesting verse that I saw. We're going to learn next week that that tzaddikim are judged right away, and they're finished off on Rosh Hashanah. Rishayim also, Beinanim are hanging until Yom Kippur. They should decide. They should make the decision. They should judge them on Rosh Hashanah. But the final decision is on Yom Kippur. Usually, a baby is neither a tzaddik nor a rasha. So therefore, the judgment, is this baby going to be born, what's going to be with him, takes place on Yom Kippur. In this case, the Sarah, Rachel, and Hannah, because they were destined to have children who are going to be special people, then they already did the full judgment on Rosh Hashanah, and that's what we mean nifkada. There are, by the way, there are mafarshim who actually learn that nifkada can actually mean they became pregnant then, and that leads into a discussion, that leads into an interesting discussion that the post can have, are you allowed to have relations on Rosh Hashanah? If we say that Sarah was near and the rest of them were nifkad on Rosh Hashanah, that means their husbands had relations with them on Rosh Hashanah, are you allowed to do that?
Remember, it doesn't mean that actually had a relation.
No, the fact that the woman becomes pregnant right after she has relations. And it's true, theoretically, Rashi says that it was a gzera, but I'm saying there are other mafarshim who learn it doesn't mean it was a gzera, it means that they actually became pregnant then. No, but whatever, I'm saying, Rashi specifically says, it means, that they're going to become pregnant sometime during the year, right, but there are mafarshim who seem to say that, who seem to understand that actually means they became pregnant on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Anyway. Rosh Hashanah Yosef Vesasurim, and Rosh Hashanah Yosef came out of jail. All of these things we're going to quote Psukim later, proving that these things happen on the respective dates that we're talking about. Rosh Hashanah Batla Avodah Ma'avasinim Mitzrayim, and Rosh Hashanah, the work stopped from our forefathers in Mitzrayim. I mean, they didn't go out till Nisan, but already came Rosh Hashanah, already the Egyptians stopped working them hard. The famous thing that it says because Rosh Hashanah started Makas Kinim. Once all the dirt turned into lice, then they don't have any dirt available, any mud available to have them make bricks out of, so then already they gave up on trying to enslave them. Badam, no. No, Badam, they paid them lots of money for water, but they were still forcing them to work. Yeah. I guess, I don't know. But Rosh Hashanah already, they gave up.
First idea, that mindset that they had in Egypt that really enslaved them so much, because they were, it says there's no slave that ever got out of Egypt.
Right.
But there's also the thing with the people from a tribe of Ephraim who just left.
Yeah. That was 30 years earlier, yeah. I saw an interesting vote, actually, even though we're saying that Botla Avodim Avasenim Mitzrayim, so what did we need in Nissan then? Because we say in Haggadah, Avodim are you know, the part of Mitzrayim, and later on we say that if Abish hadn't taken us out, we would still be Meshubadim, the part of Mitzrayim. The difference is, the Avodah ended Rosh Hashanah, but we still would have been Meshubad, we still would have been subjugated to them, we can't leave the country, we're still, one famous explanation of Meshubadim is we would have owed them a debt of gratitude. Comes Nissan, comes Pesach, Abish actually takes us out of there. Not only there's no avoda that it stopped 6 months earlier, there's no shibud even. There's no that it was subjugated to them. Anyway, but Nissan Nigalu and Nissan they were taken out of Eden, were taken out of Mitzrayim. But Tishrei accidentally go, Tishrei they're destined to be taken out of this galus. This is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says some of these things he agrees on, but some of them he says differently. But Nissan Nivraelim, he says no, the world was created in Nissan. But Nissan, Nolder Avos, but Nissan Mesu Avos. The Avos were born and died in Nissan. And specifically, but Pesach Nolder Yitzchak. That Yitzchak was born on Pesach, as we'll talk about at the bottom of the Amud, where we know this from. But Rosh Hashanah, Nifkid, Asar, Rachel, Chana, Asar, Rachel, and Chana were all remembered on Rosh Hashanah. That Rabbi Yeshua agrees with all. So that is, by the way, the reason why we read about Shem Pakad Asar as the Kriya on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and the story of Chana and Shmuel as the Haftarah.
So
according to Rashi, she was remembered that the destined that she's going to become pregnant this year, and according to some other Mefarshim, apparently that she actually became pregnant. Yeah.
After
you're
supposed to be a school for having children.
Okay. But Rosh Hashanah Yosef got out of jail. But Rosh Hashanah Batla Avodim Avasenim Mitzrayim. On Rosh Hashanah, the work ended for our forefathers in Mitzrayim. The Nissan Nigalu and Nissan they were taken out of Golos. But Nissan not sitting in the Golos. And Nissan they're destined to be taken out of Golos. Which, you know, there's the famous thing everybody asks. I mean, Achakaloi b'chol yom Mashiach. You know, Mashiach can come, and we want Mashiach now, not in Nissan, not in Tishrei. So what, you know, what's the Benissan Nigalu or what's the Benissan Asid in Ligal or Tishrei Asid in Ligal? So there's a well-known explanation about it based on the famous Gemara that says that there's Be'ita and there's Achishena. There's a timetable that the Eibishta knows, and only the Eibishta knows, by a certain deadline by which Mashiach has to come. And that's the Be'ita way. That's even if we're not deserving of it, then the Be'ita, the Eibishter arranges at a certain time it happens. As opposed to Achishana, the Eibishter can make it happen faster if we're Roy. So if it's Achishana, of course it can happen any time. But we're talking about the Be'ita, we're talking about whether it's associated with whether it's a Nissan or a Tishrei. We know, as far as all of these things that we're mentioning, whether Batisha Nivra Olam and Nissan Nivra Olam, as far as all these things that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing about when they happen, we know ultimately Divrei Elokim Chaim. In particular, as far as Bris Olam, later on we have a short discussion of this again later in the Masechta when we talk about the Tfilas of Rosh Hashanah. We say in Rosh Hashanah davening Zayim Tfilas Masecha that can only be according to Rabbi Eliezer. But for other purposes, we do say according to Rabbi Yeshua. As we'll talk about tomorrow, for example, we say Birkas Chama and Nissan. That's according to Rabbi Yeshua. So there's a famous answer that Tosfos gives that the Eibishter, the Olam Machshava came up in the Eibishter's Machshava in Nissan to create the world, but he actually ended up creating it. The actual creation itself, the Gashmis, the creation, took place in Tishrei. Which means, therefore, there's the idea. Well, there's the idea, therefore, that first of all, machshava is higher than maisa, so therefore that represents the idea that pnimius of the world is a nissen, the pnimius is a nissen dicker place. The chetonius is a tishrei dicker place. What's the difference? One famous difference is that nissen is a serusa del eila. Thus we have, because Mitzrayim was the ultimate serusa del eila. We're down on the 49th level over there, and they've just schlepped us out of Mitzrayim.
Let me ask you a question.
Nissan is also the anhaga of Nissan. Tishrei is more derech hateva, and Tishrei is more isarosu d'mosata that we start off the process, and Eibishter reciprocates.
But like we said for the Shnas Malachim and Shnas Malkei Yisrael, starting Nissan and Tishrei, you could also say that the world was created in Nissan for the Yidden and Tishrei for the.
Yeah, there's only one world, though. No.
the kahana of creating the world for the yin, for the
okay. I mean, yeah, I guess that sort of amounts to the same thing, sort of, then, that the pnimius of it is a nissen, is a nissen-dika thing, which is a hanhaga lamayla madera hateva, and then the actual world, the actual physical world is created in Tishrei, which is more of a derech hateva, more of a bottom-up approach. Similarly, as far as when we talk about the Geula HaFida, there's a number of Maimarim and letters from the Rebbe where he talks about the idea that this machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua over here also mirrors a machloikas of theirs that they have in that sugya in Sanhedrin in Perek Chelik that talks about Mashiach, where they argue how in the end is Mashiach going to come. Rabbi Eliezer says over there, if the Yidden do tshuva, then they'll be taken out of Golos, and chas v'shalom, if not, then not. And Rabbi Yeshua says over there, look, you know, it's going to happen no matter what. If, you know, the Yidden are going to get out of tshuva, the Yidden are going to get out of Golos, whether they do tshuva or not. And Rabbi Eliezer says over there, then they still have to arrange if they do tshuva, melech kasha kaman, etc. So therefore, that reflects this idea over here. According to Rabbi Eliezer, b'tishrei asid in Ligoel, where Tishrei is a tshuva dikah month, because according to him, you need tshuva in order to have the geula. Whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua, the same way as the original geula was in Nissan, without anybody doing tshuva, with us being vat erim be'eria, the same way it'll be then. That's the thing. So Rabbi Yeshua says that basically it's not necessary. The Eved will take us out of geula even before we do tshuva.
So
the Rebbe does talk about in some of these places also that there is the idea then that after all we're saying it's both Nissan and Tishrei that there is going to be the Yidden are going to do tshuva, but it's going to be that it's directed by the Eved. The very fact that we end up doing tshuva over the or Yisrael is tshuva miyadei negolin is itself going to be because the Eibishter kind of forces the issue. The Eibishter gives us the nesinas koyach to be able to do it, which we might not be able to on our own. Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, I remember nine shiva Tishrei nivra olam. How do we know that the world was created in Tishrei? Shenema, vayomer elikim, on the third day, the Eved says, tad she aret desha, the earth should bring forth a grass, a grassy desha, means Rashi says in Bereshit, Esev is each individual stalk, each individual blade of grass or whatever is called Esev, the whole covering is called desha. So tad she aret desha, like the earth should be covered with a lawn, like. Esev mazriya zera, grasses that produce seeds. Eitz pri and trees that have fruit on them, which implies eitz pri implies that the tree already has fruit on it. So ezel chodesh haratz metziad shoyim ve'ilan moleperet. Which month is it? When do you find during the year that the earth is full of grass, where it's already fully grown, and that the trees already have ripe fruit on them? Ve'ilan moleperes, heveim is a Tishrei. You have to say that that's Tishrei. If it was Nissan, in other words, the grass is only beginning to grow. The trees, the fruit is only beginning to grow. Like this, if the Torah is describing that the Eved created the grass fully grown and the tree and the fruits fully grown, that has to be Tishrei time. And he continues, Oisa perek zman revia hoisa. Also, by the way, that time of the year is the time when the first rain falls. Revia means the first rain. Now we'll learn about it in Tainus. So there's a couple of reasons why it's called that. One is revia comes from a word meaning to impregnate, basically to fertilize. That's what the rain does. The rain does. Pru-uvur is a different Turkish. That's the revia with an ayin. But revia nirba. No, that's a mavris. That's something else. I'm talking about for example, you have the expression in halacha, reveya, a person who commits bestiality, nirba, who calls, it's a word that's used for having relations. So the rain in that sense fertilizes the earth. There's another explanation that Rava is the with an ayin is the Aramaic word for laying down, like Ravat in Hebrew is Rava in Aramaic, and that's what the rain does. It settles down the dust and prevents it from flying all around. Anyway, so therefore the first rain is called Ravia.
One second.
I'll tell you what Marsha says on it. So that time of year is Zman Rabia, V'yodu B'shamim B'tzimchu, and sure enough, rain fell, and the plants started growing. Shenemar V'ed Yalam in Aretz, as it says, a mist came up from the ground. Which Marsha says, right, I mean, so Nissan, you don't have rain also, and Nissan, you also have the last rain of the year. So, and actually, Marsha says, okay, Tishrei time, the Rosh Hashanah time is not really the rainy season yet. The rainy season really only begins in Cheshvan. So Marsha says, right, what the Gemara means to say is that time of year...
They bring the wheat.
Right. So Marsha says, what the Gemara means to say is at that time of year is when you need this V'ed Yalam in Aretz. If you can hear, that time of year, yeah, you're starting to have it. It's coming towards the rainy season yet. It's not quite the rainy season yet. What? They plant more in Cheshvan time. But... in this time, if the pasuk is telling us as like a chiddush, the plants haven't grown yet because the Eibishter hasn't made it rain yet, and all of a sudden a chiddush, the Eid Yalam in Aretz, the mist came up from the ground. Why does this mist have to come up? Because Rosh Hashanah is not really, it's only the beginning of the rainy season. It's not really the actual rainy season yet. So therefore, yeah, the Eibishter had to arrange for there to be a mist. Otherwise, in other words, Rabbi Yehazar is saying, according to you, Rabbi Yeshua, that was a nissen. What do you need is the Eid Yalam in Aretz. It's a time of normal rainfall. It's a time when the rain is... we're talking about in places, in places that have similar climate, yeah. Rabbi Yeshua, minayin shev nissen nivra olam, how do we know that the world was created in nissen? Shenemar, v'totzei aretz desha, the pasuk continues. The pasuk that Rabbi Eliezer quoted is the pasuk where the Eibishter tells the ground what to do. You produce lawn of grass, produce trees that are bearing fruit, etc. But what actually happened? Vatotzei aretz desha, the earth put out desha, which Rashi says, and the point is, it doesn't say vatadshei aretz, which would imply that there was a fully grown lawn, there was a fully grown carpet of herbs already. Vatotzei aretz, it started bringing it out. Like the time of year when like the grass starts growing. Eitz of Mazir Yazera, grasses that produce seeds, and here's another key difference, the Eitz Oisei Pri, and trees that produce fruit, which again, Rabbi Eliezer's pasuk implies that the trees are already full of ripe fruit. Rabbi Yeshua's pasuk, the Eitz Oisei Pri, trees that are going to be producing fruit, so like the fruit is first starting to develop.
And
so, obviously, I mean, there are different trees. I mean, for that matter, citrus trees have fruit all year round. But we're talking about most kinds of fruit start developing in the spring. By the fall already, the fruit is completely ripe. So is there a chodesh ha'aretz m'leid shayim? So what month is it when the ground is full of herbs? Or Rabbi Sabach says moitziyad shayim, that the ground is putting forth herbs. The ilan moitzi peiros, and the trees are putting forth fruit. Hebeim is a nissen. So in other words, each of them is saying basically, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are saying basically that the way it was at the beginning is the way it continues every year. If the Eibishter created the world in Tishrei, then the condition that all the grasses and trees and whatnot were at that time that year is the way they return to that condition every year. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, same thing. But in Nissan, Abayim is a Nissan. Va'oisa perak zman behem chay v'chay v'opshim is davgan zeh. Also, Rabbi Yeshua says this is the time of year when animals and birds and when domestic animals and wild animals and birds all mate. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, lov shukharim asoin v'gomer, the sheep are covered with layers, as we learned back on Dachet, the whole machlokes over there, of how to learn this pasuk. Is it talking about Adar time, or is it talking Nissan time? Because is it v'amokim yakubar, was it that the valleys are full of grain, which is Adar time, or is it Yisroi or Apyashiru, when the stalks of wheat are knocking against each other and like singing? We had that whole discussion a few days back. So that time of year is Taka when all this happened, and therefore he says, so that's also what happened then. Maybe she told them Pru Uvu, and sure enough, they started mating and producing children.
That it was forever.
So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, if you look at what actually happened, if you look at the actual results, then yeah, it had to have been this in time. Nu, according to what does Rabbi Yehuda do with Rabbi Yeshua's pasuk that the trees are going to produce food, implying that they don't already have food on them? He says, "Hahu lebracha l'doros v'chitiv." That's telling the Eibishter is giving a bracha for the future. Right now, you already have fully ripe food, but for the future, every year you should be an eighth oisipri. Incidentally, Mepharshim point out, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that the food is just beginning to grow. Then how does the chetei tadas? What do they eat? And the answer that the answer that somebody gives is everybody agrees that the trees in Gan Eden were different. We're talking about the trees in the rest of the world. Yeah. No, Gan Eden, that Adam and Chava were in is a place in this world. But it was different than the rest of the world. The trees in it could be right.
The laws of nature don't.
Not the laws of nature don't, but you know what? Different places have different climates. You know, you were just mentioning a minute ago that different trees have to have fruit different times of the year. So yeah, Gan Eden was a kind of climate that had that had fruit at that time of year. That's the explanation that I thought. Actually, a couple of things of it. I remember those different days. What the Eitz Hadas fruit was anyway. There's a day that was an Esther. If it was an Esther, those live on the tree all year round anyhow.
Now you have blueberries later on. Because certain things you see during this time of year.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Then it has to do with the climate. It has to be anywhere.
Yeah.
So I know.
Yeah.
No. To do how warm it is, and I know what time of year it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, we had three
leaves. So I hold the bracha l'doros v'chitiv. That's just written as a bracha for the future that the trees should produce fruit. It doesn't mean that at the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis they didn't already have fruit on them. The Idchnami. Now what does Rabbi Yeshua do? Hoksiv ha'etzpri. What does he do with Rabbi Eliezer's pasuk that says that the trees actually had fruit on them? Which would imply Tishrei time. So what does Rabbi Yeshua do with that if he says it was Nissan? The answer is Ahu Kid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He uses that pasuk to teach us what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says. Da'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Ma'aseh Bereishis, everything that was created at the beginning, L'kay Masan Nivru, they were created with their full height. So therefore, in our case over here, they were already created with ripe food on them. L'daita Nivru, they were all created with their das. Rashi says that means that each thing, before the Eibishter created it, he asked that thing, or the Malach in charge of it, whatever, do you want to be created? And it agreed. Yes.
It's questions through the age of the earth.
That comes into this also. Yeah. At Tosfos in Chulin, where this line is also quoted, learns it differently. That L'daita Nivru means that they were all created fully grown, just like an adult already has das. So just like Adam and Chava were not created as babies, so also, for example, the animals, even though animals don't have das, they're created with the maximum das that an animal is capable of, meaning as an adult.
What to do in that?
They have all their instincts or whatever. Yeah. And l'tzivyon and nivru, and they were all created with their tzivyon, which again, there's a couple of different explanations what that means. Rashi says tzivyon means like each one's qualities. In modern Hebrew, they use the word tzivyon to mean that, like I mean the unique qualities of something.
Character
amounts to the same thing, right?
Colors.
You know, everyone has a different taste, everyone has a different shape, etc. That's tzivyon. There's other explanations as well style is pretty much the same as character, but no, there's a different explanation that also I think Tosfos says there in Chulin that tzivyon means their beauty, that each thing was created in its full beauty.
Lumen for
the
color.
Yeah. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Vayichulu Hashemayim v'ha'aretz v'chol tzva'am." Al tikri tzva'am ela tzivyonam. So don't read that it was created tzva'am, their armies, but rather tzivyonam, their character or their beauty. In the Maimon Basi Lagani, it talks about when the Friedrich Rebbe and later on the Rebbe talked about the idea of the yin being tzivas Hashem. He goes into the idea that tzva has a number of meanings. One of them being this idea of tzivya, and that everything has its unique qualities that it uses. Yeah. So each one has a way of explaining the other one's pasuk. Okay, so that takes care of Bris Olam then. So we have this machlokas whether it was in Tishrei or Nissan. And like I said, as the Gemara ends up pointing out later on, Dachav Zayin, the fact is that we do, for the most part, hold like Eliezer in the fact that we say in Davening Zayin, Silas Masecha on Rosh Hashanah and not on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Next one, we said in the Braisa that the next one, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua argued when were the Avos born and when they died. Rabbi Eliezer said they were born and died in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua said in Nisan. Rabbi Eliezer, remember, Nayan Shabbat Tishrei know the Avos. How do we know the Avos were born in Tishrei? Shenemar, by Kalu al Melech Shlomo Kol Ish Yisrael, all the Jewish people gathered to King Shlomo. This is when they were going to do the Chanukah Sabayis, so the first base of Mikdash. V'yerach Ha'isanim v'chag, in the month of Isanim on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. It was actually a week before Sukkot. They had the Chanukah Sabayis for a week before Sukkot, which included Yom Kippur. We'll learn about that in Marid Katan later this year. Bez Hashem, they ate on Yom Kippur, etc. Yeah, the whole famous thing. And then after that, they had the week of Sukkot. Yeah. So, the Yerach HaYisanim then obviously means Tishrei. So, why is it called Yerach HaYisanim? Yerach Shenodah by Esanei Olam. It means the month when the powerful people of the world were born. In Hayim Yom Chelek Sheni, which was never actually published because the Rebbe didn't have the chance to finish it, but the Rebbe started on a second volume of Hayim Yom to cover the following year, Tavshin Dal, Tavshin Hei, and he put together 40-odd pisgamim for it, which have been published 20-odd years back. One of them was a vote from one of the sikhs of the Friedrich Rebbe that the word Eson has three meanings. Alt, hart, stark. Old, hard, and strong. That describes Avos. Old, hard, and tough. Yeah. Anyway. So the month in which the Esonim of the world were born. So therefore they were born in Tishrei. My mashma dahi Eson lishnas takifihu. Where do we see that the word Eson means toughness, means strength? As the pasuk says, Eson moshavecha, where you live is a very strong place. This is Bilam talking to the descendants of Yisrael, that you live in a very strong place. So we see that the word Eson means strong and tough. Omer, and we have another pasuk, Shimu horim es riv Hashem, listen mountains to Hashem's argument, v'ha'isanim moste oritz, and Esanim, who are the foundations of the world. Esanim meaning the Avos, who are the foundation of the world. The whole world stands on what the Avos accomplished. Yeah. V'omer, and we have another pasuk that also shows that the word horim, since we're saying horim and Esanim, we see the word horim as well refers to the Avos. In that pasuk, it's a pasuk in Micha, it's in Haftarah Parshas Bolok, the Eibishter is calling on the Horim and the Esonim, which we're saying means the Avos, like to, you know, I have an argument against the Jewish people, listen to what I have to say. You know, look how much I did for the Jewish people, and what are they doing for me? But Omer, and then a different pasuk says, Kol Dodi Hinei Nishashirim, Kol Dodi Hinei Zeba, the voice of my beloved, here he comes, Medaleg Al Harim, leaping over the mountains, Mekapet Al Gvoros, and jumping over the hills. What does that mean? Medaleg Al Harim is Chos Avos, means he's leaping over the mountains, and means he's coming in the Chos of the Avos to take us out of Mitzrayim. Mekapet Al Gvoros, the Chos Imos, and he's jumping over the hills in the Chos of the Imos. Bilam also, in his Nevuah, uses the word Harim and Gvoros to mean, Rashi says over there on the Pesukim, in Parshas Balak, that it means respectively the Avos and the Imos. The medallig alaharim, the medallig and mekapit. One of the famous explanations is the idea that I think Rashi actually says that they're on Shir Shirim. The idea that the Eibusha shortened the Golus so much, really, you know, it was supposed to be 400 years, and instead the Eibusha took us out after 210. That's the medallig and mekapit and the schos of the Avos and the Imaris. So we see, therefore, the point is, we see that the word Esonim, and also the word Harim, refers to the Avos. If we're calling Tishrei Yerach Esonim, then it means that they were born in that month. Rabbi Yeshua, I remember Nayan Shabbat Nisan and Elder Avos. Rabbi Yeshua says, how do we know that Avos were born in Nisan? Shenema by Hebe Shmonim Shana by Abameh Shana, let's say it's Bnei Shalmeh at the time, in the 480th, we quoted this passage at the beginning of the Masechta, in the 480th year after Yitzis Mitzrayim, Bashona Haravis, in the fourth year of Shlomo HaMelech's reign, Bachodesh Ziv, in the month of Ziv, that's when they started building the Beis Mikdash. Now what is Yerach Ziv? It means Yerach Shenodah by Ziv Sanei Olam, in the month in which the bright people of the world, Ziv Sanei Melech, and the Ziv, the shining ones of the world, were born. Which actually, Rashi over here and Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta point out there's a problem with that. The Pasuk had gone on to say that this Yerach Ziv is B'chodesh HaSheni, is the second month, which we said there is Iyar. That's how we proved over there. Iyar is the second month, and Nisan is the first month, and that's how we know that Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for kings. So what are all of this? Are we saying that Yerach Ziv is the month of Nisan? So Rashi says two possibilities. Either it means, yes, Yerach Ziv is Iyar, but why are we calling Iyar Yerach Ziv? Because if the Avos were born in Nisan, then it means, comes Iyar already, the world is full of the light of the Avos having been born already. In other words, at the beginning of Nisan, there's no Ziv yet, because they haven't been born yet. Comes Iyar already, there's that Ziv in the world. And then Rashi says, yeah, they're actually born the month before. And then the second explanation, Rashi says, is we're talking, you have there's a solar Nisan and a lunar Nisan. The lunar Nisan is the one that begins with Rosh Chodesh. The solar one is the month that begins after the spring equinox. Not always is Tkufas Nissen at the beginning of Nissen. It can be somewhere in the middle of Nissen as well. But there, if you count a month from that, you often go well into year. So the Avos can have been born in solar Nissen, meaning during the first month after the spring equinox, but on the Hebrew calendar, it was already year. But we're still calling it B'Nissen, no, they're Avos, because it was saying that they have that association with Nissen.
With the shining after a month?
According to the first explanation? Yeah, no, the point is, once they were born, then already, that shine exists, and that illumination exists in the world, yeah. Well, the Gemara asks, "Idoch nami hafsib yerach haysanim." Knew what does Rabbi Yeshua do with Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk about yerach haysanim? He answers, "Hasan to kifi b'mitzvahs." He says, "Yerach haysanim has nothing to do with the Avos. It means it's a powerful month. It's a month power packed with mitzvahs." And look, Rashi, you have shofar, you have kippur, sukkah, lulav, arava, nitzchamayim, arava. Yeah, it's the power. It's the engine of the whole year. Why is Nissan or Ir, as the case may be, called Chodesh Ziv? The answer is Ahudi is based Ziva Leiloni. It's called that because then the trees have a radiance, they have a shine, a beauty. The Amr of Yehuda, as in fact Rabbi Yehuda says, Haiman Nafik B'yemin Nissan, a person goes out during the days of Nissan, V'chazi Yiloni D'malavlevi, and he sees trees that are blossoming. Omer, Baruch Shleichisim L'olamiklum, blessed is the Eidoshir who didn't leave anything out of his world, Uvar B'briyas Tovis V'yilonis Tovis, and he created beautiful creatures and beautiful trees. L'isnois Ben B'nei Adam, that people should, this is the Birkas Eilonis, yeah, that people should have anah from them. Rashi actually, the Gemara here is saying lehisnois. Rashi says that lehisnois means lehonos, and that's the nusach of the Alter Rebbe, which we say is lehonos ban b'nei Adam.
Means
to enjoy them, and that is actually that's
one.
Lehisnois would mean like to beautify themselves with them. Lehonos means but you don't beautify yourself with a tree, but you enjoy it. You enjoy the sight of it and the fruit of it. This that we're saying that you enjoy them, by the way, is one reason why is why the post can say that you should make it on it, that you should make the bracha only on a fruit tree, because if it's an ilum srak, if it's a non fruit bearing tree, you're not really having such anah from it. Yeah, that's mitzvah lav lahonis, and that's it. Yeah. So that's why it's called chodesh ziv, nothing to do with the others. So, like Gemara points out, Mando Amar b'Nissan Nol d'b'Nissan Meis. So the opinion that says that the Avos were born in Nissan also says that they died in Nissan. Mando Amar b'Tishrei Nol d'b'Tishrei Meis. So, according to Rabbi Eliezer, they were born in Tishrei, they also died in Tishrei. Shenema, v'yomer aleim ben meiv v'asim shana anocheyem. As it says in the pasuk, Moshe says to the people, "I'm 120 years old today." Shein tamad leim hayom. He doesn't need to say today. 120 is 120. Or ma tamad leim hayom. He means hayom molo yomer shnoitza. Today, my days and my years have been exactly filled up. Today is my birthday. From this we see that the Eibishter sits and fills up the years of tzaddikim from day to day and from month to month. I saw an interesting explanation, by the way, what's with Yoshev? The Eibishter doesn't have to sit to do it. The Yoshev we find in a number of places also means, the Shodesh Yoshav also means to stay for a while. The Meloshin equals. Bateshu v'kodesh yomim rabim. It doesn't mean you sat there, it means you stayed there a while. You dwelt there, yeah. So in this, what it means is that when the Eibishter decides that it's appropriate that a tzaddik should pass away on the day they were born, it might be, really, they should have passed away before that. But the Eibishter is Yoshev, the Eibishter waits, the Eibishter holds it up so that they should die on the day they were born. Which, I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is, most tzaddikim in history, we don't find that, among our rebbeim, the only example is the Mithil Rebbe. Which the Rebbe once talked about that, you see by him begolui this idea that it's actually came true begashmius much more than by the other rebbeim. For example, I was
thinking much more what
this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Malish Nesem Shal Tzadikim Yigayim L'Yayim. None of the other rebbeim were passed away on the day that they were born. There's always, some kind of shaychus between the day they were born and the day they passed away, but not you don't actually see on the calendar that it's the same date. So the mitzvah whatever you see it begolui.
The Shemaychai birthday.
Which?
We don't know his birthday.
Yeah.
But
there's
no
day about that day, right? But Ash is not. Yeah. Anyway, Shenema as Mispar Yamecha Amalei, as the pasuk says, I will fill up the number of your days. So therefore, So therefore, the idea is therefore, if we're saying that the Avos were born in Tishrei because Yerach HaYisonim, then that means they passed away in Tishrei. If Nissen, then Nissen. So now we're going to get to Yitzchak. Everybody's going to agree in the Gemara here that Yitzchak was born on Pesach, which actually I saw an interesting thing. I think it might have been the Aruch HaNer once says that when we said before, we made an exception for Yitzchak as far as when he was born, but Pesach no that Yitzchak, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees with that. But we said a blanket statement, but Tishrei made to others according to him. So according to him, what happened with Yitzchak is his days weren't filled up. So this is an interesting thing. We have these two times in Yitzchak's life when he could have been considered dead already. One is by the Akedah, when his neshama flew away and then from seeing the knife. And the other one is when he is later on, many years later, when he became blind and Sumo Choshev Kemet. So either of those could have happened in Tishrei, in Pesach time, and that's reason enough, therefore, to call him to be considered a Mitzvah Yamecha Amale for that purpose. But when he actually passed away and was buried in Maros Machpelah, that might have been in Tishrei, or vice versa. So, but Pesach know that Yitzchak Menola, and how do we know that Yitzchak was born on Pesach? Kedichtiv, Lamoyed Oshev Elacha. The Malach says to Avraham, at the Moyed, I will return to you. Now, when we learn Chumash, we figure, and actually Tosfos discusses it over here in the Zod Ahagah, the next Amud, that Lamoyed means at this time next year. There's Rashi over there talks about that he made a scratch on the wall and said when the sun reaches this point next time. But the Gemara here is taking it as Lamoyed means the next Yom Tov. Well, then we have to ask, how do we go from Yom Tov to Yom Tov? How do we figure out which Yom Tov? That's what the Gemara. So. Amos Koi, when is he, at which Yom Tov is this taking place that he's saying, Lamoyed Oshev Elacha, that I'm going to come back the next Yom Tov? Even with Pesach, is it that the Malach came on Pesach and he's telling him, Shavuos, you're going to have a baby? How's that possible? The Chamshin Yomim Mikal Yolda, a woman can't give birth to a baby after only 50 days. No, but come on, I mean, you know, the whole thing was Lamayel Mederach Teva, fine, but it's supposed to be within Teva, you know. I mean, you know, otherwise David doesn't have to have sort of become pregnant at all. He could have had a baby fall down from heaven, you know. I mean, So what is it? That the story is taking place on Shavuos, and the Ebesh is saying that the baby is going to be born Tishrei. Still, a viable baby can't be born after 5 months. If she became pregnant Shavuos, then to have the baby Sukkot time is still too early, still too premature.
Yeah, the birth time, right?
Yeah. Ella dekoy b'chag v'komol abenissen, but then you still have a problem. So is it that we're talking about the story took place on Sukkot, and the Malach is telling her that she's going to give birth in Nissen in the case of time? Akati b'shita yachim b'koyol, but still, how do you give birth after only 6 months? The pregnancy is 9 months.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. The Gemara here is taking that at least on the surface meaning. I'll tell you. We'll talk about soon what Tosfos says and what the Haggah on the other side says and whatever. But at least on the surface meaning of the Gemara is assuming that Lamoyed means next Yom Tov. So then the maximum amount there is between one Yom Tov and the next is 6 months. Okay, that's not such a problem. We learned a brisa. Oh, it's a Shana. So that year wasn't the sorrow that was pregnant. The year was pregnant. It was an Ibra year. So therefore, you're up to 7 months. But well, no, because it's a well established thing. It's a well established thing throughout Shas that a viable baby can be born after 7 months. We learned back in Shabbos, for example, that you have the 9 month pregnancies and the 7 months. In the Gemara system of things, there's actually two tracks on which a baby can develop. A baby can develop on the 9 month track or on the 7 month track. If they're meant to be on the 9 month track and then they're born and then they're born after 8 months, then we talked about in Shabbos is the baby is considered a nafel. The baby is non-viable because they haven't been in the womb long enough. But you can have the other way around. You can have a baby that was supposed to be on the 7 month track and was born late, and then that's fine. Which we talked about over there, how you tell the difference, if the nails are fully grown, if the hair is fully grown, whatever. But it's a well-established thing that you can have a baby born after 7 months. So once we've established 7 months, then we're good. Except, the Gemara says, we're not good yet, because but still, if we take out the days of Tumah, the days that she was Nidah, then now you're below 7 months. Why? Rashi says, we learn in Bava Metzia, the Gemara has a whole sugya of going through the story of Avraham and Sarah and the Malachim. Much of it is in Rashi and the Pesukim over there. And Rashi says, Oisayim Pirsa Nidah, that day Sarah became Nidah, that's why they didn't end up serving the bread to the Malachim, because they called them Matara. So suppose they came then, let's assume the Malachim came the first day Sukkot. She becomes Nida that day. The earliest she can go to Mikra is Shmini Atzeres, 7 days later. They have relations then, but by the time 7 months come and the baby is born, it's already the end of Pesach or even after Pesach. How do you have that? We said that Pesach knows the Yitzchak, but Pash just means the beginning of Pesach. You're below 7 months. Mazutra says like this. Even according to the opinion, the Gemara has a machlokas about it in a couple of places in Shas, that a woman who gives birth at a 9-month pregnancy cannot be mekutoyin. It can't be partial months. Mekutoyin would mean, for example, suppose that you could have for the same kind of thing as we talked about, for example, as far as the tree yesterday, as far as Orla. So you plant the tree a month and a half before, or 2 months, or whatever it was, before Rosh Hashanah, then that little bit, that bit of Av and El counts as a whole year. By the same token, you can talk about a pregnancy. When you're talking about a 9-month pregnancy, does it actually have to be 9 months day to day from conception until birth? Or can it be like 7 whole months, and then, part of 1 month at the beginning and part of 1 month at the end? That's a machlokes in a few places in the Gemara, whether such a thing is possible. So even according to the opinion that it's not possible that a 9-month pregnancy means it has to be full 9 months, 271 days, nevertheless, Yeledes L'Shiva, Yeledes L'Kutayin. Everybody agrees that a 7-month pregnancy does not have to be 7 full months. It can be six whole months and parts of a couple of and parts of a couple of months. Shenemar, the pasuk says, when Shmuel was born, by he the tekufes hayomim, it happened after the tekufes of days, miyot tekufes shtayim, miyot yomim shtayim. The word tekufes implies two tekufes, a tekufes is 3 months, and the word yomim also implies 2 days, so therefore Shmuel was born after a pregnancy of 6 months and 2 days, which already is enough to be considered 7 months, that's mekutayim. So by the same token then, 6 months and 2 days. But it's not, that's what I'm saying, it doesn't have to be 7 months. It's 6 whole calendar months, plus part of the 7th month. That's enough.
Yeah, 2 days on the
7th. Yeah.
That's
what we're saying. That's enough. Okay.
One day can be
in modern terms also. I mean, they have babies who are born, 23 weeks or so. Very premature, and you need to put them in an incubator and so forth, but they're still, they're still viable.
Right. Yeah, we talk about viability.
Yeah, yeah. So therefore, therefore, when it comes to Yitzchak as well, same thing. Then you could have that Sarah Taka became Nida on Sukkot when the Malachim visited. She had a week to become Tahar. Then she becomes pregnant. You have pretty close to 7 months if it was an Eber Yar, for Yitzchak to still be born on the first day of Pesach. It wasn't 7 full months, but we're saying you don't need that. Now, so then you get into the question of what are we saying over here, the Maskana, that the Malachim were visiting Sukkot time, and then Yitzchak was born Pesach. We all know, we learn as kids, that the matzahs that he made for them, Ugos matzahs, that means that it was Pesach time. So how does that fit with everything that we're saying over here? So first of all, Tosfos starts by pointing out that first of all we talk about the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that says that Avraham had his bris milah on Yom Kippur, and then if on the third day is Vayir Elav Hashem Beilonim Mamre was on the third day, so that's a couple of days before Sukkot. So when the Gemara over here says Sukkot doesn't mean actually the Yom Tov of Sukkot itself, it just means in that season of the year. Yeah. Tosfos goes into the whole thing and says that actually what it is that and so what also what do we do with this business about the scratch on the wall? Tosfos says like this. We are saying the Gemara over here is saying that the Malachim visited between Yom Kippur and Sukkot and they told them you're going to have a baby Pesach time, but the Pasuk also called it, back at the end of Parashat Lech Lecha, when the Eibishter is telling Avram what's going to happen, he says that this is going to happen Bashana Ha'acheres, in the other, meaning the next year. So if the year begins in Tishrei, like Rabbi Eliezer says, then that's not this and there's not the next year. Necessarily, then, you have to say that it means that the Nisan Nivra Olam, therefore the year begins in Nisan, and therefore it can be called Bashana Ha'acheres. Right. And then actually on the other side of the Amud, at the top of the Amud, is unusual. Usually you have Rashi and Tosfos go all the way to the top of the Amud, but here you have this Haggah. I don't know who it's from, that discusses this and actually says that the description that we have over there in Parshas Vayera, he says, is kind of woven together from two different stories, two different things that happen. Pesach time, the Eved comes to Abraham and tells him that this year, the next time, you're going to have a baby. And that's when Sarah played Sruta Bekoisel, that's when he made the mark on the wall, and that's when Sarah laughed. And then also actually, then she did have, then actually she also became Nida. But she still didn't think, okay, it's a fluke, you know, it's not a regular thing.
When did she become Nida?
So that's this Haggah over here is saying that what happens is that Pesach time, the Malachim Taka we're visiting, that's when Sarah floats through to Bakoso. And that's when the mark was made on the wall. That's when she's laughing. How am I going to become pregnant again? And that's when she became Nida, and that's how the masses became Tomei. But she figured it's a fluke. That's what if she became Nida, why is she so surprised that she's going to have a baby? Because she figured, you know, after all these years, well past menopause already, all of a sudden, okay, it's a fluke. You know, it happens even with older women once in a while. Right. Now, okay. Now later on came Tishrei time, which was also, by the way, after Rosh Hashanah when Nifkada. Then already Tishrei time, her vest came back regularly. She started having regular periods again. That's when she became pregnant, and that's when then Yitzchak was born, and then Yitzchak was born Pesach time. So therefore, you still have that. It's still Lamoyed Hazeh. It's still the next Yom Tov from when her actual vest returned, which was Sukkot time. And then, but the news was given to her on Pesach, and Yitzchak was born at the same time. Lamoyed Oshav Elacha. So, in other words, it has both meanings. It means the Yom Tov of this Yom Tov at next year, which is Pesach, and it also means the next Yom Tov after you actually see that you have your fertility back.
From Tishrei to Pesach, you don't have that much.
No, you have 6 months. So that's what we're saying. 6 months and a couple of days, isn't it?
She started having a period in. Pesach.
So according to this Haggah, she had like one fluke one, Pesach, and then she started having regular ones again to Tishrei time. So that covers then how we know that when Yitzchak was born. He was born Pesach time. Next. Rosh Hashanah Nitkada Sora Rochel Chana. We said on Rosh Hashanah, and this everybody agreed to, on Rosh Hashanah Sora Rochel and Chana were all remembered by Hashem. How do we know? On Rosh Hashanah. Even Rabbi Yeshua was saying that many of these things happened in Nissan, he agrees that Rosh Hashanah is when they were remembered. Sora Rochel and Chana. Yeah. So again, we said that Rashi said remembered mean that the Abish to judge them and decided that this year they were going to become pregnant. And there are some poskim who seem to say that who discuss from their discussion it comes out that they say that Nifkada means she actually became pregnant on Rosh Hashanah. So how do we know this? Minolan. Amar Abulaza after kida pkida after zchira zchira. We make a double gzeira shava. One from the word pkida and one from the word zchira. Namely, ksiv v'rochol v'yizkir elakim es rochol. That by rochol says Eibishter remembered her. So we see it was the same kind of zikaron that they were both. It was decided that Eved decided they're going to have children. How do we know that was on Rosh Hashanah? But after zchira and Rosh Hashanah, we make a gzeira shava with the word zchira that in connection with Rosh Hashanah. It's a Shabbos and zichra and shua. It's a day of rest, a remembrance of shofar blowing. And pkida pkida, and then we make a gzeira shava of the two words pkida. Ktiv b'chana ki pakad Hashem eschana. By chana later on, it says that Yishter had remembered or had been mindful of her. Or ktiv b'sara, Hashem pakad asara. So putting that all together, then we have that chana and Rachel would both have their zchira on Rosh Hashanah, which is the Yom HaZikaron, and chana also by chana also it's described as pkida, and the same term is used for sara. So therefore, we see all three of them with Rosh Hashanah.
One is
Schira and one is Skida, yeah.
Because?
The nuance between Schira and Skida, I'm not sure. We're going to have later on in the Masechta when we talk about Malchus, Zechronis, and Shepherd, we're going to have Machlokus Tanoim, whether you can use words that have Skida in Zechronis.
They have the same meaning,
right. They have the same general meaning, but there's a nuance. There's a difference between them. I'll have to look it up.
Which word?
Zohar and Pokad.
Pokad.
Yeah. Next, Rosh Hashanah Yotze Yosef Veisasur Minolon. It says that Rosh Hashanah Yosef got out of jail. How do we know that? Dichtiv Tiku Bachoyde Shofar Bakesel Yem Chagenu. Blow the shofar on the month at the beginning of the month on the hidden day of the day of our Yom Tov. It's recorded in the Gemara again the other day that how we know this refers to Rosh Hashanah. Because it's a law of a mitzvah for Yisrael, and then the pasuk continues. Edus b'yehosef samei b'tesef. He made it a testimony on Yehosef b'tesef all the time when he went out over the land of Mitzrayim, which all that happened the same day. He got out of jail. He interprets the pirate's dreams, and all of a sudden there he is as Mishnah Malach, and everybody's bowing down to him. This that we're saying, by the way, that he got out on Rosh Hashanah is one thing is Rashi mentions in Parshas Mikates over there when it says by Galach by Chalaf Simloisa that he got his hair cut and changed his clothes. Rashi says by Galach Mifnei Kvod HaMalchus. So why does it have to mention that? Why not? You could say the same thing about the change of clothes. So one interesting answer that Mefarshim give is changing the clothes, no problem. This was on Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Tov, what's he doing getting a haircut? But Mnei Kvod HaMalchus, he didn't have a choice. Indeed, and there was a sicha in Chelek Lamed Hei where the Rebbe discusses this thing about by Chalas and Loisim, and the Rebbe explains on a deeper level. Cyrus represents, on the one hand, you know, we have that long hair is a great thing, like by a Nazir. On the other hand, you have that hair is not such a great thing. You know, that a person needs to shave it. It all depends where it comes from. Basically, when you're talking about Malchus, when you're talking about the covered of Malchus, meaning the Sfira of Malchus, which is most active on Rosh Hashanah. Then you need the Vaigalach to take away the hair for the covered of that kind of malchus.
There's a street by the Avish, obviously.
Yeah. Incidentally, I mean, here we have, this is the only place in Tanakh where it's called Yehosef with the extra vav. And Marsha says, we know Alpi Kabbalah that hay is associated with Malchus. So there you go. On the day of Malchus, on the day when we crowned the Ebishter, and on the day when Yosef became a king, then he's called Yosef with extra hay. Next, Rosh Hashanah. Not necessarily, but in this case, he was doing it okay for Malchus. He's coming to see Pharaoh. But yeah, there is the din. A Jewish king is supposed to get his hair cut every single day. Melech Mustafa b'chol yom. So you see him in his beauty. Melech b'yafi tachzana enafaya. Next, he said, Rosh Hashanah b'chol avodah b'amasenim Mitzrayim. And on Rosh Hashanah, the slavery ended for our forefathers in Mitzrayim. How do we know? Ketiv ha'chavoy tseisi eschem in tachav sivlas Mitzrayim. It says, the Abishah tells Moshe, I'll take you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. Or ketiv ha'chavoy, and the same pasuk in Tillim, in Haninu Levikim Wazenu, which is the capital that talks about Rosh Hashanah, it says, ha'siroisi miseva shichmoy, I took away his shoulder from the burden. So Rashi says, actually, this is talking about Yosef, when it's a continuation. Edus b'Yosef, some of the Tzeitah lets Mitzrayim, Sfasulei Dati Yeshma, and the next pasuk is Hasiroisim Yisevel Shechmoy. So it's all referring to Yosef, and apparently Rashi holds then, just like it happened for Yosef, so also it happened for the Jewish people. Marsha says a little differently, that actually it means the pasuk is not referring to Yosef at all. Now, this pasuk, Hasiroisim Yisevel Shechmoy, is talking about the Jewish people.
Only.
Because he says, because we don't really find that Yosef was made to do heavy labor in the jail. You know, we find over there in the jail they had chen, yeah, they put him in charge of the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Ophim, yeah. Next, when Nissen Nigalu Kedisa. How do we know that they were taken out of Mitzrayim and Nissen? Because it doesn't, the pasuk. And Betishrei Asid in Ligol. How does Rabbi Eliezer get that the Gula Amitis Vashlema will be in Tishrei? Asya Shofar, because he makes a Zera Shava of the two words Shofar. Ksiv Hachat Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar. V'chtiv Asim B'Yema Hu Yitaka B'Shofar Gadol. So when is that Shofar Gadol going to be blown? At the same time that we blow the Shofar every year. Rabbi Yeshua Amar B'Nissan Nugul B'Nissan Asid in Ligol. And Rabbi Yeshua said that the Tzias Mitzrayim was in Nissan and the Gula Amitis Vashlema will also be in Nissan. How does he know? Amakro, because the pasuk says Leil Shimurim, it's a night of watching by Tzitzit Zayim, which means Laila Hamashumur Rabam Misheshes Mebreishes. It means it's the night that's guarded and has already been preordained for this purpose from Sheshes Mebreishes. So not just that it was destined that the original Geula is going to be then, but also the final Geula. V'idach, what would Rabbi Eliezer answer to that? He says it means something different. Laila Hamashumu Rabam and Amazikin. It means it's the night that ongoing is always watched over from Mazikin. which we do accept that lalach. We have, for example, that's why we don't say brachach men sheva when the first night Pesach comes out Shabbos, because the reason why we have that brachach men sheva is so people don't have to walk alone from shul if they're late or whatever. The shuls were out in the fields in those days. Pesach night, we're not worried about that. It's brought in Sfarim. That's one of the reasons why we open the doors by Shvet Chamoscha, to show that we're not afraid, because the Laila Hamashuma of we don't lock the doors. We only say a short Kaddishma. We learned Pesachim, the whole thing about that we talked about. We had the whole sugya over there about zugas, so you're not supposed to eat and drink things in pairs, and yet we have dalav toisus. And one reason we said it is because a knife is guarded from mazikim. So Tosfos says Rabbi Yeshua agrees with all of that. Rabbi Yeshua doesn't disagree with all this concept that Pesach is a leil shimurim in all the sense. He just said the pasuk has a double meaning. It means that it's leil shimurim as far as it's safe from mazikim, and it also means that it's the night that's destined for the gulam to
svashlema. Are there any events on?
There were many events on the night of Pesach. I have no idea. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of times there were blood libels, but those usually the effects of those usually tended to be later on, not the first night of Pesach itself. I think we'll stop over here, because then the next thing is going to go on for a bit about the whole chronology of the marble and the whole astronomy and astrology and whatever of the marble. That we'll leave that for tomorrow.
Yeah,